Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North America and all ships at sea. You are listening to the Cut Jib Newsletter Radio Network. This is J.J. Sefton, and I am joined once again by my cordial co-host and co-blogger, CBD.
Good evening, everyone. And it is evening. We're recording a slightly different time. And unfortunately, I just had a late lunch, so if I doze off, Just keep talking.
You will be tryptophaning the light fantastic, as they say. This is episode 3, by the way, for those who are keeping score at home. Some incredible things happening yet again, as always. It's never a dull moment around the former United States, is it?
No, it's unfortunately interesting times, which is something that I would like to do without for, oh, I don't know, a generation.
You know, people talk about regular order and regular times, and it's, you know, or how do we get back to that? I mean, do we have an electoral process? And even if we have an electoral process, it does not eliminate the fact that we have an American left that is still feral, rabid, and anti-American and wants to do us in. So, you know, I don't know that we can go back to what the old republic was. I say, you know, the republic is dead. It's now time for the second republic, whatever incarnation that's going to be.
Well, I think it's going to have to include a robust states' rights movement. The Constitution is fairly clear. Fairly clear, yes. The 10th Amendment is extremely clear. But it's been ignored. So we have to find a way in this country to penalize the central government whenever they step on the 10th. How we do that, I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah, it's a ticklish situation, even in a philosophical sense, because the left uses our very freedoms as both a cudgel and a shield. But how do you establish a free society and yet limit the rights of others who want to do you harm? And this is really the predicament that we find ourselves in, and ultimately, if we ever do find our way out of this, that we will no doubt be in when we craft whether it's another constitution or, you know, reinforce the one we already have to whatever extent that we can do that.
But that's the issue, and that is that in a free society, we have to accept a certain amount of chaos. The left always talks about gun violence as being unacceptable, and a modern, enlightened society, gun violence should not exist. But the way to get rid of gun violence is quite simple. You go door to door with SWAT teams and you take all the guns. That's how you do it. Now, you'll lose 50 or 100,000 SWAT members in the process, but it can be done. The problem is that a free society will not accept that. And chaos is hand in hand with freedom at a certain point. So, you know, we talk about states' rights and all of the odd things that are happening today, and we have to accept the fact that chaos will be there. And chaos to the left means that in Mississippi, you can't get an abortion. And in Montana, you can't get an abortion. But in New York, you can. Do I find that acceptable? No. But I find it less horrendous than unfettered abortion throughout the 50 states.
Agreed. And getting back to guns, of course, you know, you talk about confiscating guns and you'll eliminate gun violence. The truth is, you won't. If confiscate every firearm from every private citizen in the country, the only people left that will have the firearms will be the government. And as we all know, when people are, and the citizenry is disarmed and the government has all the weapons, this is how you get the Gulag. This is how you get Auschwitz and every other society that's ever, every other totalitarian society that's ever existed. So.
Well, I spoke inartfully, and you're absolutely correct. Yes. When the left speaks of gun violence, they carefully ignore the fact that their stormtroopers are responsible for a lot of gun violence. Unfortunately, and I'm going to piss off a lot of listeners, perhaps.
Piss away.
Cops are the pointy end of the spear for the left. You know, 20 years ago, I expected the police to be on my side. Today, absolutely not. I think that for the most part, they are agents of the government and support what the government is trying to do.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it is a cold slap in the face to have that realization, but so many illusions have been shattered over the last year already since the election and beforehand, really going back to the original 2-week period, which is now 86 weeks long of the lockdown. 2 weeks to flatten the curve. No, it's like 86 weeks to flatten society. But you know, all these things have totally, these illusions are shattered about these institutions that we all thought were going to protect us and that were above petty partisan politics. I mean, now look at the revelations now with the CIA. Oh shocker. CIA agents were you know, child molesters and perverts. Oh, my God.
That surprises me not at all.
Not at all. I mean, take a look at John Brennan. I mean, I'm not a believer necessarily in physiognomy being the be-all, end-all of someone's personality. But, geez, that guy looks like a freaking perv. You know?
Yeah,
he's
does.
He's like Aqualung in an Armani suit. More to your point about the police, you know, they're in a precarious position in a way. They got a job and they have a pension and they're going to protect and serve their pension, unfortunately. And some of them maybe reluctantly will do that. I mean, Andy McCarthy is famous or infamous really for all these wonderful people in the CIA and the FBI and the Department of Justice that are just righteous and upstanding, but meanwhile who sold Trump and all of us down the river left, right, and center, and doesn't,
you know, that's not fair. The 99% give the 1% a bad name, so that's
exactly, yeah. but still it's just you know, when push comes to shove, what is going to happen? God forbid that totalitarianism does come. And look what's happening in Australia. My God, they're actually rounding people up and putting them. We're talking about China with concentration camps. My God, this is Australia. They're rounding people up and shoving them in the concentration camps because they're refusing to get vaccinated. And there was a story, I think, the other day where some Aboriginal tribesmen had escaped. We're laughing at this. My God, my poor mother, may she rest in peace. She survived Mauthausen, Gunskirchen, the labor brigades, and a death march. And I'm laughing about Australia rounding up Aboriginals and chucking them behind a wall because they didn't get an injection. I mean, that's coming here. The only reason it's not coming here is because 200 million of us are armed to the teeth with probably 10, 20 times as many weapons and 100 times as many rounds of ammunition. So for now, they're hopefully thinking twice about doing that kind of thing, but who knows?
You know, the ridiculous thing about this vaccine is that it's modestly effective against the original variant, the Alpha variant. And as that variant drifted genetically and became more benign, it turned into the, what was the next one? Who the hell knows?
It was the Delta variant, and now it's,
yeah. Okay, the Delta. I'm sorry, the Delta variant. Right. And but the thing is that the vaccine, by the time you arrive at the Omicron variant, it's probably ineffective. I don't know. I haven't seen all the data, and the data aren't complete right now. But the idea that the government is doubling down on pushing vaccine on a population that simply doesn't need it to protect itself. And that makes me extraordinarily suspicious that there is another reason for the vaccine. And I'm not buying into the lunacy that it's gene therapy and it's going to give us all, you know, three heads and make us vote Democrat for the next 200 years. No, that's welfare, sorry.
exactly.
But the only thing I can think of is a naked power grab and beating people down into the ground. Do what we say or you're going to get thrown into jail or you're going to lose your job.
Well, yes.
And you can't eat a restaurant.
Well, the biggest thing, the biggest tool, and this is how they got rid of Trump and so many others finally got rid of him, was, well, besides stealing the election, but the initial key to that is fear. Now, you can have all sorts of scandals, whether they're real or imaginary, and 99.99% of them were imaginary when it comes to Trump, and all these things, and you could just brush it off. It's not a big deal. But when it comes to something that is health, like a disease coming from wherever it came from, China, of course, even Donald Trump is going to say, look, unfortunately, you have to go to these people that you thought you could trust, meaning doctors. And oh my God, I mean, it's the same thing. It's a deep state. It's bureaucrats who are in service to this globalist vision of overturning America and overturning society to their will. And they sabotage Trump, you know, by basically giving him, by scaring him and scaring the entire country to death. And most of the country is still scared to death over this thing, which is provably, it's what? Zero.
Let me interrupt you there.
Sure.
I don't think that most of the country is scared to death. You and I live in a hard left bubble,
yeah,
or I live on the outskirts of a hard left bubble. And our perception of the disease is radically different. I just had dinner with a friend, a dear friend, who now lives in South Carolina, and she found walking in New York City to be extraordinarily strange because people were wearing masks. She came from South Carolina. Nobody's wearing masks.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about COVID.
Yeah. I mean,
they do.
As you know, I think I sent you a brief text message yesterday because we're planning a trip out of town to where we are moving to
you're moving to the United States. I heard.
To the United States away from Soviet New York. And God bless my wife. She is a dyed-in-the-wool liberal, and I am not going to, I can't really divulge anything further than that. And she basically told me, she goes, I know you didn't get the shot. Will you reconsider that? And I said, no. And basically told me, says, well, if anybody, you know, in the household gets sick, it's basically my fault if they get infected. And I'm going, now hold on a second here. Does everybody in the family got an injection? She said, yeah. Well, then what do they have to fear from me? Oh, well, it's the Omicron variant. I said, well, what is that? So what you're saying is the injections are useless. No, I'm not saying. And it's, you know, I got her in the logic bubble and her, you know, she nearly blew a fuse. But she says, look, I don't want to get into an argument. And she walked out of the room. But it is ridiculous. It's ludicrous. All of these things are just completely, I mean, it's the same old thing, which is fear, fear, fear. And right now, as the world, as everything since January 20th is literally collapsing in on this regime and collapsing on top of us, whether it's the economy, whether it's national security, whether it's the border, whether it's you name it, and any one of a number of things that are going on that's just totally failing, they're going to get swamped given the fact that the elections will, if they're not rigged in 2022 and 2024, Democrats are facing a wipeout if elections are still kosher. And the only thing they have left to do is to keep the fear going so that it distracts everyone. And the other key element of that, of course, is the organized violence, which to me, what happened in Waukesha it wasn't a planned Democrat terrorist attack, but it was a Democrat inspired terrorist attack, as much as the one perpetrated by James Hodgkinson on the GOP softball field 3 or 4 years ago. You're listening to CJN Speaks, the podcast for Thursday, December 2nd, Episode 3, CutChipNewsletter.com, Ace of Spades, Headquarters, J.J. Sefton, CBD. You were saying, sir?
Not much. I noticed in the news this afternoon that our intrepid, President Biden was lying about Israel again. He claimed that he was sent to Israel before or during the Six-Day War when he was, of course, a law student. And it was amusing to me because I see in his behavior many of the things that I saw in a close relative as she descended into dementia. And I'm not saying this because I'm a partisan. I'm not saying this because I hate the son of a bitch for being a sleazy politician for 50 years. I'm saying it because that is what I observe. Part of me looks at him and is sad that this human being who should be put out to pasture and surrounded by loved ones, if they in fact exist in his world, instead of being the president of the United States. These stories that he tells, I don't believe are made up. They are what he truly believes. This is the state of his mind. This is the state of his memory right now. And it's pathetic.
To your point about that, he definitely does have some sort of dementia, whether it's Lewy body dementia or Alzheimer's or who knows what it is. And, you know, now that there's revelations coming out in Miranda Devine's book about the laptop that Keith Ablow, is that his name? The doctor, whatever. He was joking with whoever about him having dementia, and they were in a conversation or an email with, I don't know if it was Hunter or whoever it was. And
I think it was with Hunter.
With Hunter Biden, basically saying that, yeah, your father has dementia, but let's keep that, you know, let's keep that under wraps because, you know.
Yeah, because he needs to be president.
Because he needs to be president, and that, and 10% of the big guy, you know, it's got to come to us. But to your point about the dementia, I don't think that his being a fabulist is really, he's always been a fabulist. He's lied through his teeth, like, wherever he has gone about everything for the last 50 years. I just think the dementia accentuates it and enhances not only his dementia, but his mean-spiritedness, and it just brings out, it's truth serum, I think, for him. Not the stories that he's telling, of course, but it really shows him for what he is, as a real, you know, an absolute horrendous human being, and there you have it.
Yeah, so I noticed this morning that you had a interlocutor on the morning report who expressed some frustration with your style, which I thought was quite amusing. He didn't like some of your Yiddishisms and your jokes about people's names, which I think are funny. Some of them I don't understand because I'm not quite as attuned to modern society as you are. Huh. But I was amused.
People read us and they enjoy it and they enjoy my shtick. Some people don't, whatever. Look, it's who I am and that's all what I will always be. I'm not going to change. But for someone to
By the way, folks, it's exactly who he is.
You better believe it, you mumsers out there. So I'm absolutely going to say and do things and mangle the English language as I have loved to do. It's been my hobby for my entire life. And the guy attacks me for that, but he's, you know, he goes, I want the news. Well, you're getting the news. Where else are you going to get the news? I mean, it's right there. And it's like, yeah, okay, a word here, a nickname there or whatever. And it's like, okay, whatever, fine. You know, Zygesund, my friend.
Yeah.
or Verga Harget, really.
No, it's interesting that each of the co-bloggers has a few people who like to snipe at them. Misanthropic Humanitarian, Ms. Hume, has one occasionally on the overnight threads that, you know, he gets all pissy about something about his actually rather good overnight threads, which I find amusing. It puzzles me why people troll these websites.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, just, you know, there are 5 million other places where you can go on the internet to amuse yourself. But
The usual knuckleheads and the Stormfronters and the Nazi collaborator George Soros paid trolls who get like what, a penny a pixel or whatever it is, a penny a bit, or 10 cents a byte. You know, to come in and say, Trump is Hitler, you know, whatever. You know, they just do that. And it's like, okay, buddy, you know, you could deal with that. But for someone just to come in and give some sort of weird thing, he doesn't like my style and I'm going away. And first of all, I never saw the guy's name before today. So it's all right. You know, whatever. You know,
that's the thing. When the regulars give a shit, that's fine.
Right.
But it's not so fine sometimes. But when, you know, some drive-by schmuck decides to shit all over the blog. Hey, guess what, buddy? We're going to edit your comment, and then we're going to ban you.
Right. Exactly. Well, we're kind of getting into sort of the weeds of the behind the scenes stuff at Ace of Spades. But I think we wanted to talk a little bit about get back to the abortion case at the Supreme Court. Some truly amazing, as in disgusting. You know, outside of the crazy people who are protesting and supposedly downing abortion pills like their Pez or something like that, which, please, I wish you would do that. Continue to down it with a bottle of gin. But this Justice Sotomayor and her statements about, you know, just the cruel, the callous nature of what she defines as a human being in the womb, even though a fetus or an unborn child really can feel pain, it's still not a human being. And I'm just going, holy mother of God.
Yeah, she was babbling something about without a cortex.
Yes. Okay,
well, are you a developmental biologist? Do you really understand what the hell that means?
No, she's...
The fact is that regardless where unborn babies feel pain, it doesn't matter whether they feel pain. They are life. They are infinite possibility. And for us to decide that possibility should be extinguished at 12 weeks or 14 weeks or 28 weeks is obscene. You know, you're talking about partisan politics. This is not a partisan issue. This is an issue of literally life and death. And it's not thinking, well, government should spend more on infrastructure, or government should be less involved in the day-to-day lives of Americans. That's politics. This is not politics. This is morality. And I find it difficult to see the other side. What is the moral case for abortion?
In a way, it is life and death, because we are the side of, I mean, I hate to sound like hyperbolic here, but let's face it, we are the side of life and they are the side of death. Everything they do is nihilistic. It has no consequences other than for one's own self-gratification and self-satisfaction. To hell with everybody else. And there's no sense of personal responsibility. And when you strip those things away from your fiber and your character as whoever it was that said it, where anything goes, soon everything goes. It's just, it's a culture. It is a culture of death. That, I mean, amazingly, they always talk about the environment and saving the environment or some such thing, or, you know, hugging these tree huggers. And it's like, my God, a human being. Or PETA is always going on about fur is murder and, you know, eating meat is murder. But, oh my God, what about, you know, slaughtering an animal in the womb? I often wanted to try this experiment at a restaurant and order veal with a leftist and have them go crazy when they order the veal. I'll say, well, it's okay. What if we pull the fetus out of the cow right before it's born and then kill it? Will that make you feel any better? You know, but
well, listen, you know, Peter Singer at Princeton talks about this all the time. He wants to create a moral equivalence between animals and man. That perhaps is farther than the traditional left is willing to go at this point, but that is the goal: the diminution of the divinity, or the spark of divinity in man. They want us to be, you know, we want to be the snail darter, only less important, because the snail darter is protected in this country, and fetuses aren't.
Yes. Meanwhile, Dr. Fauci sticks beagles' heads in cages and infects them with fly larvae and torturing rhesus monkeys for God knows what reason. I mean, look, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I have no idea what this is all about other than just sick, perverted science. But meanwhile, the left is, it's crickets. I think PETA may have perked up when they heard about that. But so far, that's died away. That's out of the news cycle right now. So it's just the hypocrisy, like it always is completely radiant with these people. You know, from my own personal experience, my cousin, this is years ago, gave birth prematurely. And her daughter, I believe, was, I want to say, maybe 20 weeks, 5 months. This poor thing was like teeny, teeny, tiny. And they did everything that they could do to try to save this child. I mean, we were donating blood, and the poor thing ultimately passed away. It couldn't hold on. And they gave it a funeral and a burial and a name and the whole thing. So if someone is trying to tell me that at 20 weeks, at 5 months, yeah, totally, yeah, it's not a living being. Let me tell you something. It's a living being. It's a human being, and it is fully formed. It may be weak, it may be whatever, but it's a human being. And now the question is, the left didn't even want to compromise on something. Give it a cutoff point where you really can't have an abortion, that it is a human being. They now want it, you know, I forgot what it was. It was abortion literally almost up until the time when a woman's water breaks. Or, you know.
Well, the partial birth abortions,
are
the abortion of a fully formed human being. That's murder. You can't pretend that this baby doesn't look like a human being. It's a
human
baby.
Being. Absolutely. I forgot who it was also on the left. Which one of these brilliant thinkers? Was it Ehrlich, or who was it who claimed, you know, a child isn't really even fully a human being until it's 2 years old? That's what, the 12th trimester? How many, you know, the 50th trimester? I mean, my God, it's you're killing a 2-year-old because it's not, you know, it's, you don't consider it a human being. And so where do we go from there? Again, we're talking life and death. This is the party of death. If that's your mentality of, forget about an unborn child, at 2 years old, you could still kill it because it's not a fully formed human being. I rest my case. We'll be right back. back to guns, baby.
Yeah, guns.
And butter.
So Alec Baldwin, in his brilliance, has now claimed that he did not pull the trigger. I'm not sure how that works.
I think it works the same way as the SUV that drove through the parade crowd. It was the SUV that caused the accident.
Yeah, apparently the pistol was a modern single action 45 Colt, and probably wrong, but I think it has a transfer bar across the hammer, so it's impossible for it to fire without the trigger being pulled. So I'm not really sure how defensible his claim on television. I mean, let's face it, he's just sowing the seeds of doubt in the jury that's going to hear this case. But I don't think it's a defensible claim. We have gun people on the blog who will certainly be able to chime in with actual information about this.
Yeah, there's...
But, you know, he got all teary and... here's a great quote. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull the trigger at them. Never. Well, actually, he did. And it's fascinating to me that, you know, that on one side, he's vehemently anti-gun. On the other side, he makes a lot of money using guns as props in these rather bad movies. By the way, do you think he's a good actor?
I'm really not impressed with him in the least. I mean, he recites his lines. He delivers them. Is he Lord Olivier? You know, no, he's not. Sorry. I mean, he's...
I find him to be bombastic, and sometimes it's funny. I'm not impressed.
He's not my favorite. You know, circling back to this, A.W.R. Hawkins, who's a gun expert and a frequent contributor to Breitbart, if I may quote from his article, Alec Baldwin claimed that he did not pull the trigger on the single-action revolver at the center of the Rust shooting. It's hard to believe, and here's why. The single-action mechanism requires multi-step manipulation in order to fire. I'll read one more paragraph here, or sentence. The best way to explain this is by noting that there are two classes of revolvers, single-action and double-action. Ironically, the single-action requires two actions to be performed in order to fire, while a double-action requires only one. And then he goes on into explaining the wherewithal of how these things work, and basically saying, you know, Baldwin is full of it. There's no way that he could not have fired this unknowingly or unwittingly. Or that it went off by itself.
Well, it's going to be interesting. We have to ask Weasel about this. Get
yes.
on the gun thread. Maybe he'll chime in. I'm sure he's got one of these. He's sort of a drug dealer when it comes to guns. He's been whispering in my ear, and I've been on this buying spree, which in New Jersey is a huge pain in the ass, by the way.
Yeah.
I have to apply for a gun permit that will allow me to purchase up to 3 pistols in a 6-month period, no more than 1 per month. It has to be cleared through the state police in addition to the feds, because New Jersey has to add additional complexity. It has to be signed off by my police chief in my town, who, to her credit, has never held it up for even one day. So she's doing her job, at least.
Right, but the thing is, you can, in Essex County, I understand, you can vote the same day, multiple days, under different names, and, you know, you can walk in as Napoleon, Adolf Hitler, or Zazu Pitts, and you can vote for Phil Murphy to be the governor, because, of course,
Phil Murphy, the man who was losing by 40,000 votes. And then, all of a sudden, my county found enough votes to push him to victory. I'm so happy to be a citizen of this state.
Yes, they were ably assisted once again by that famous Chinese voting expert, Dao Minyan.
Yes.
So, yes. Do the math, people. Meanwhile, I mean, I got to tell you, the one thing, as I leave New York City, which is probably even harder to get a gun than in New Jersey, if anything, it was nice going to, in Wisconsin, I was sort of, you know, I'm leaving New York, whatever it is, and it was just nice to sort of drive by the streets and see a couple of signs here and there for gun shows. So I'm just licking my lips in anticipation, and you know, we'll see.
That's
what my wife has to say.
In the United States, guns are, we've talked about this a couple of times, but guns are normal. They are a normal part of life. For some people, they're a big deal. For other people, they've got a hunting rifle in the closet, and you know, they pull it out 2 weeks a year, but it's not a big deal. And coincidentally, the places where guns are not a big deal tend to have lower gun violence rates.
Oh, absolutely. The most violent gun-crazed places are the biggest, deepest, darkest blue hell holes on Earth, and they have all of the violence. Meanwhile, it's the people that get blamed are your, you know, are regular law-abiding citizens who do nothing but, you know, responsibly use their firearms, whether it's for hunting, ha ha ha, or just to have it as the ultimate pull in case of emergency, break glass and, you know, pull handle in case of tyrannical government or criminals coming at you, like Kyle Rittenhouse did. But of course, he crossed state lines, so it's
yes.
Null and void.
I don't know if you noticed in the news, the wife of a...
Oh, by the way, just let me interrupt you. And speaking of which, the really egregious thing that I didn't want to get let pass is the state has confiscated his AR-15. He's been acquitted of all charges, but they've confiscated the gun and they're going to destroy it. Nice. Thank you.
That's interesting. I wonder what the legal rationale for that is.
The legal rationale is F you. That's what it is.
Yeah, pretty much.
Come and grab us or take us, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry.
So I don't know. If, there was a the wife of a some music mogul in Beverly Hills was murdered.
Yes, I saw this.
I didn't know the names, but you know, Beverly Hills is renowned for being a wealthy and safe place to live, and yet. And again, who knows what really happened? But the initial information was that it was a home invasion and she was murdered.
Yep,
and you know, this is the degradation of society. You know, you defund the police and all of a sudden the criminals think that they can do whatever they want. And in this case, assuming that that the information that we have now is correct, they were correct. They got to do what they wanted to do, which was rob a wealthy woman's home and shoot her.
Circling with a PS like Jen Psaki, circling back, as I postulated this morning, or posited this morning, I should say, crime in the streets is not necessarily the be-all and end-all of the left of just to have crime for crime's sake because criminals are disenfranchised and this and that. It is now being used as a de facto weapon of terror on the populace. As everything is collapsing in, here we have all this crime happening, and like the Waukesha car terrorism attack, like the mass looting and the mass robberies of stores where people don't get go unpunished. I saw a poor story of this poor guy in a neighborhood. I think he was Korean, of all things, you know, and he had a convenience store and he was begging and pleading with the robbers, please don't rob me and don't steal me blind. And they basically said, you know, F you, get out of my way, and they robbed him blind. And it's in their own neighborhood, but still, it's horrendous. This is just another way to sort of coerce people and to keep them on edge and set people, you know, citizen against citizen, and in a way to distract from the abject failure that is this administration. And it's not an administration; it's an illegitimate junta. That'll ramp up. I mean, look, they did this in the summer of 2020 when they allowed space to destroy, when they burned down, you know, however many dozen inner cities and suburbs because of what happened to George Floyd. Again, all
and they're being protected by the Soros-funded DAs and prosecutors, yep, and you know, the legal representatives of the state within these cities.
Sure.
You know, I was thinking back, Reinhard Heydrich.
Oh boy, there's a name.
Who was a charming man. He was the Nazi equivalent of the Soros DAs. I mean, he was essentially the chief of police in Germany. And why was he in that post? Well, because that's how you control the population. And he went on to bigger and better things, you know, planning the final solution. And luckily, a couple of Czech partisans blew him up, which really is a wonderful thing. But anyway,
yeah, I mean, but
you know, comparing Reinhard Heydrich and a Soros DA, We're really, really getting bad in this country.
Yes.
When I can do that.
I mean, get someone, I think it was an American thinker, I think it was Andrea Widberg, who I liked, sort of took offense and took umbrage to people comparing Fauci to Mengele. But just to backtrack a second to defunding the police, let me tell you something. You defund the police, I mean, you will not, it's not that there will be an absence of law enforcement. Oh, there will be laws and they will be enforced. It's just it may not be the police that are doing the enforcing. It may be the people who are burning, looting, and murdering who are in there, as Obama had his famous national security force, if you remember that. that internal security force that was supposed to be better funded than the Department of Defense. There will be law enforcement. It's just going to be the laws that will be nothing like it's in the Constitution or anything that you can even imagine outside of, outside of Nazi Germany or Stalinist Russia or wherever. Again, Andrea Woodberg took offense to people comparing Fauci to Mengele. Yes. Anthony Fauci is not Joseph Mengele in that let me backtrack here. I'll say he's not performing experiments on human beings, but there's actually revelations now that these AIDS orphans from the 1980s were experimented on by Anthony Fauci when denying them medicine, and it's really cruel. But I get her point in what she's trying to make, but it's not so much it's Fauci in the literal sense, but it's the Fauci or Mengele in the literal sense. It's the Mengele attitude.
It's the mindset. It's the mindset that the Untermensch, which is maybe that's a cruel way of describing most American citizens, but that's how he sees us.
Subhuman.
We are Untermensch. Can be manipulated, can be experimented upon, and can be discarded. And that's what Fauci has done his entire career. He screwed up the AIDS effort, the government AIDS effort, unbelievably. He sentenced to death many, many thousands of hemophiliacs because he is a political animal and didn't care about the science. And that behavior has continued to this day. He's doing it with COVID and the additional power that he's been given because, well, unfortunately, originally Donald Trump was a little bit reticent and didn't fire his ass
yes.
the second he started shooting his mouth off. But now, with the Biden junta, gives him all the power in the world.
You know, I think people were sort of theorizing. I mean, Fauci has become a liability, but magically, here comes Omicron to resurrect him. Oh, Dr. Fauci, he's the second coming of Christ. You know, you see votive candles with his image on, and it's frankly disgusting. And he's not. With all deference, his mentality is that will to power and by any means necessary. There's that expression again, and feeling of superiority that we are going to mold society the way we think it should be molded, and to hell with individual liberty, and it's chaotic and it's messy, and we are your betters, and you better listen to us. And it's just that mentality exists. He may not be Mengele in the flesh or by deed, and although that's, I put an asterisk on that because of his record with the AIDS orphans back in the 80s, he certainly is Mengele in mentality. And that just, it's not just him, it's every other bureaucrat in every other damn department in that damn District of Columbia, whether it's the CIA, whether it's the FBI, whether it's the IRS, whether it's you name it, every department, every agency, everyone who heads those agencies has that attitude of we know what's best and we're the experts, the best and the best and the brightest.
The thing is that each iteration of the COVID virus, their reaction has become more and more ridiculous. Yeah. You go back to the original one and we didn't know the data. It was looking like 2%, 2% death rate, which is significant because that includes many, many more people than just the old and the infirm. But then you move on to Delta and it wasn't quite so bad. Now we've got Omicron. But when the doctor who's seen the most of it in South Africa says, it's really not so bad.
Yeah, she got blasted.
Muldoon, in one of his comments, pointed out that using a test for the virus as a driver of policy is ridiculous. If you have to test people to find out that they have the Omicron virus so that they can be sent to camps, it's getting stupid.
It is.
Each of these iterations has become more and more ridiculous, and more Americans are going to begin to ignore it.
Yeah.
Even there's a fatigue that is setting into the United States. Nobody wants to hear about it anymore. Right. And that's why they're being more and more hysterical.
And there's real danger there, which I've noticed, is that as more and more of this, it becomes evident that it's Chicken Little, the sky is falling. God forbid a real pandemic that whether China unleashes this on us or people from the M79 star system land in the Klaatu saucer, unleash this on us or whatever. People are going to say, go to hell. We've heard this story before. Blow it out your ear, and then the bodies will pile up in the street. But the government has no one but themselves to blame for this. But of course, they'll find plenty of other people to blame for this. Jen Psaki says she blames the American people for not listening to Joe Biden and getting vaccinated. And just want to, You know, you want to tear what's left of your hair out of your head, presuming, like me, you're bald almost. So, anyway, I think we're just about out of time. It's another great episode. CBD, great talking to you as always. This is the Cut Jib News Radio Network. We will see you on the next podcast. Take it easy.
Sounds like a plan.
You bet.
Frequencies meet. You try to listen, but you don't understand it. Turn up the rhythm and you pick up the beat.